It is 1 o'clock. Oops, I forgot to put this back in my purse. It's 1 o'clock, so we will reconvene. And our first item this afternoon is the, your agenda says DAWS/NIS update, and that's Department of Administrative Services and what used to be the Nebraska Information Service, and it's changed its name, no, Information System.
Right.
And I can't remember what the new name is.
The correct terminology is EDGE now.
EDGE, yes, that's right.
There really is not much to update. Nothing new, really, for Administrative Services and EDGE. And actually, just to keep you, the DAS used to be what they called that agency all the time. Now they use AS, Administrative Services. Next time, this topic will probably be AS/EDGE.
And it will be the same thing.
And it will be just for no computer. Update.
There will be no update.
So, there you go. That's it.
Okay. Well, then we'll move on to the newsline.
Here we go. All right. My favorite part of the program. I mean, not sincerely, it really is. Jamie, need the mic?
He's coming forward, I think, but Hubert will give you the. You can stand here at the end. If you want to put your stuff there, that's fine. That'll be fine.
I feel honored. I got a gift.
Did you put these nice packets together for us?
Yeah, Jamie had nothing better to do.
I did email this report. Sorry about that. On
Wednesday.
Wednesday, yes. So, do you want me to read it word for word, or just kind of run through it?
Run through it.
Okay. I can read the actual figures, but I just let you know kind of what's been going on. In May, I attended the Older Blind Conference, and I had done that right before the May meeting. I got several calls and emails from clients that had attended that conference, just asking some questions, getting some updates on their contact information. Got some people using Newsline that hadn't been using it in the past because of problems and so forth. So that was a good thing. I did contact the subscribers that we had talked about that had moved out of state. There were 8 of them total. 4 of them, I did transfer their information to the various states. The other 4 are using Newsline through their cell phone on the local number, and they did want their information to stay in Nebraska so that they could have easy access to our Nebraska information channel. So I did leave them in Nebraska, but I did ask that they use that local channel all the time, and some of them were even using the internet more than the phone, so it's no cost to us as far as that goes. So there is 4 of them that are still in Nebraska, and I'm continuing to go through the list and find people that have moved or have passed away to get their information transferred. In July, I attended the NFB National Convention, where I assisted at the exhibit hall table, and it was great to get to know subscribers and coordinators from the other states, to get to talk to them, see some of the programs and things that they do. So that was a good experience. I also came across some new materials while I was there. We now have information on CD, and in the packets that I handed out, all that is all the time I'm talking about these materials that I get from Baltimore and so forth. So I just wanted you guys to see what materials are sent to subscribers. So in your packet, you have a Braille user's guide, a Braille brochure, you have a print brochure, and a print user's guide, and then there's on tape. On cassette is the user's guide, and now on CD is the user's guide, an updated version which includes some of the newest features, and like a brochure on CD. It's called the introduction CD that gives some testimonials and so forth of other subscribers. So it's a neat CD. So just so you guys can kind of see some of the materials that are sent to subscribers when they sign up. The one thing I did forget to put in that packet was my little information card that I send every time a new subscriber applies for the service, and I put them in the database. I send the type of media that they prefer. I do also have it electronically if they prefer to have it through email. And then I send their codes to them, as well as a information card that has my phone number on it and the Newsline numbers in Braille or print, depending on what medium they asked for when they signed up. So, but I did forget to put that in your guys' packet. So you can hang on to those packets, or you know, if you know somebody who's looking for some information, you can give it to them. But just thought you might be interested to see some of the stuff that I give out when I have do presentations or new people sign up. We had quite a few people sign up for Newsline in July, a record number, and that did put us on the list. I did not get this in my report because it just came out, but each month Baltimore sends out a monthly report of to the coordinators as to how things are going and what states have the most subscribers and so forth. And in July, Nebraska had 27 new subscribers, which was put us on the list for a high amount of subscribers for that month. So that's always cool. That's happened one other time since I've been coordinator, and that was a couple years ago in the fall, I remember. Also, last month I did write an article for the Nebraska Independent, which is the newsletter for the National Federation of Blind of Nebraska. This month so far, I've been in touch with Pearl and Kathy about setting up a meeting for the phone line that was discussed last time. We did not get that done before this meeting, but there was some other things I was going to bring up after my report here. But I have been in contact with them. I've also been in contact with Dave Ortley of Talking Book and Braille Service, because, of course, they do send out the application in their materials and sign up quite a few subscribers, and I want to get some updated information to them and see about doing a little bit more outreach. So I'll be meeting with him sometime soon, hopefully. And I'd also like to, this month, I'm revising the application again. I know this was kind of a big thing a year and a half ago or so. I want to include the material on CD as part of one of the options on the application. And then I'd also like to include a section for the commission counselor to fill out, just like their name, basically, because what happens a lot of times is we get applications in the mail, and it might be a unisex name, and it's always great if we can put the Mr. or Mrs. Ms. on that in the database, because when you call into Newsline, it says your name like Ms. Forbes. So it'd be nice to have that information. If I get those unisex names, like Jamie, for example, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl. So it'd be nice to be able to call up the counselor and ask them questions. Also, sometimes we get phone numbers that are incorrect. I always call the subscribers to let them know receive their application and that they'll be getting information in the mail. And I call that number and I can't get a hold of them. So I try and find them online. If I can't find them on the internet, I kind of have to search to find out what office that application came from to find out the client's information so that we can get in touch with them. And a lot of times what's happened is a couple numbers have just been transposed and so forth. So it'd be nice to have a section on the application that just says the counselor's name so that we know who signed him up, so I can give him a call and ask him those questions.
What happens if they don't have a counselor or an open case?
This is that would only be for the commission staff, the applications that I give to them.
Okay.
The other application that is used like by Talking Book and Braille Service is just a generic application. It doesn't say... actually, the one that the Talking Book and Braille Service uses is says something like, are you a subscriber of Talking Book and Braille Service? And you just check the box.
Okay.
So... this was before you had been on the board, I think, Julie, maybe not. But I had sent out a new application a while back and just had made some changes to it so it applied just to the commission staff. And so that's what I would like to do again. And, of course, I will submit it to you guys for your approval, but it will just have those minor changes on it.
I don't think you need our approval.
Yeah, I don't feel like you do really
either. I don't think so.
As long as it's complying with the Newsline rules. I don't know if there's like a national Newsline coordinator.
We did revise it from the national application, but there was a pretty big to do about it, you know, when I did it last time, I remember.
I guess go ahead, Pearl.
I would say you ought to work with the agency on it, with me, to get approval.
Okay.
You know, the agency pays for Newsline.
Right.
And so it is something where, you know, we really need to partner on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I will just send it to you then. And, but like I said, it's just going to have those, it'll be the same as before, just the minor changes with the CD and then maybe a line for the counselor's name. That's basically what I've been doing the last couple of months. We do have some new promotional materials coming out, which is going to be great to get even more information out there. I do have some posters and things that I'm going to get distributed to the different offices across the state, the commission offices. I need to get a packet together for each office with their the new materials on CD and that stuff, and then also posters.
Sounds good.
Would you like me to run through the numbers at all?
Go for it.
Okay. Let me get to the right page. I don't have that part memorized.
Oh, well. While you're looking for that, just a quick question. Are there, besides blind individuals, are there other people across the country and with other disabilities, physical or learning, that do use this service too?
It is available to anybody who has a print disability, whether it be dyslexia or they're not physically able to read the hold the paper.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many of those people here in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
That's one avenue that we have not really reached out to too much here in Nebraska that we should. And I've thought about that quite a bit, you know, contacting even the public schools and letting them know that the service is available. Because that would be a good avenue to reach. And through the Talking Book and Braille service, mm-hmm. some of those, of course, have probably reached there. Okay, in May, we started at the last meeting. There was 1,400 subscribers. By the end of May, we were at 1,408, so we did add 8 subscribers. I'm reading one-handed on the table here, so.
You can set the microphone down in front of you. It'll still be close enough.
Okay. That might help.
Yeah.
So those 1,408 subscribers called Newsline 1,077 times for a total of 19,531 minutes. subscribers accessed the state newspapers in May 1,977 times. The local channel, which is the channel that I update, access that 125 times, and the TV listings were accessed in May 429 times. The average call subscribers, the average length that they called in was 17.14 minutes, and 52.65% of those calls were made on the local number. Okay, I have a cute little thing here. Things cooled down in June.
And then they heated up in July.
They did. Yeah, so in June, only 2 new subscribers were added. Uh-huh. And subscribers accessed Newsline 1,410 times. For a total, where did my minutes go? Did I not do the minutes for you?
They were on the report, but
maybe I forgot to braille them out, though, huh?
Well, that's a possibility.
Oh, okay, here we go. The total minutes was 16,844 minutes. The state newspapers were added, were accessed 2,683 times. The local channel was accessed 107, and TV listings was accessed 370 times. The average call lasted approximately 18 minutes and 7 seconds, and 44.6% of those calls were made using the local number. In July, like I said, they heated up, and we added 27 new subscribers.
Wow, made up for chat.
The number of calls made to Newsline was 1,017 for a total of 17,930 minutes. The state newspapers were accessed 2,798 times. The local channel 142 times, and TV listings 528 times. The average call lasted 41 minutes? I don't think so. Maybe people just didn't want to go outside, so they stay inside and listen to the news. I can tell you that 41.58% of them used the local number, but I'm not sure what the average call was in July. So that brings us up to a total of 1,441 subscribers. And then I went on to say that's well on our way to 1,500, and I'm hoping by this time next year we'll be at 2,000.
Okay.
So that's kind of my report. A couple of things I did want to mention is that Pearl did send me an email in regards to the phone line. And like I said, I talked to her and Kathy about possibly meeting later this month about that. I did have some concerns that she had made a few suggestions about having Kathy take over some of the responsibilities of the phone line. And I do have some concerns with that as far as answering questions for subscribers. I feel that being a daily user of Newsline, I would be able to provide the best information to subscribers. And also with the new technology, being able to use Newsline on your Victorator stream, your BookSense, MP3 players, and those kinds of things, I think that would be difficult for somebody else to answer those kinds of questions. Kathy has become an agent on the website, so she is now able to post things on the website. Another thing that I would like to talk to her about here in the near future as far as editing and so forth, those items that are posted on the onto Newsline.
Is there well, I'll ask it this way. Is there Kathy does good work and there's no question there. Is there a reason why Kathy is now an agent on the site? Is it too much for you to handle, or what's the thought process behind that?
I'll speak to that. I read a couple months ago about in the Rail Monitor about what did they call it? Agency sponsor functions, and we're the agency sponsor, but we never had gone online to really see what, from the agency perspective, we could, our access to Newsline and just be more involved with monitoring as well as possibly posting things and so on. So that's when Kathy and I started working on that.
The duties of updating Newsline have been assigned to a coordinator that was found and hired, I guess you'd say, for a while it was volunteer. by the NFB of Nebraska because the agency was not able to actually pay for a coordinator to do that. And the NFB in Nebraska felt that it needed to be a person completely separate that could dedicate time to contacting subscribers, providing training, giving presentations, and so forth. So that's why it was originally done that way. I feel that I am getting things done in a timely enough manner. I've never gotten complaints, but Pearl recently told me that that was being done. And I don't so much have a problem with Kathy taking over as far as putting the commission minutes and so forth up there. It's just that things do need to be edited quite a bit, and I don't know if that she's had that training to post things correctly because she's not a user, so she doesn't know how things need to read and so forth. Like, for example, you cannot put apostrophes in anything when you post it to Newsline. There's a lot of formatting that I do behind the scenes just to post things up there.
Then that brings to another question. If somebody sends you stuff to post, like I did back in June with the currency thing, do you read the stuff before you post it, or is that part of your editing process?
That's part of my editing process, yes. So, for example, I go through and do like a find and replace, take out all the quotes, the apostrophes, the paragraphs, the colons, the semicolons, all that stuff has to be taken out. Then I go in there and I replace. So if there's a word that's I apostrophe LL, well, when you take that apostrophe out there, it sounds funny.
So I had to change it to I will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I do read the stuff that's put up there. So like the commission minutes, for example,
I go through
and read that entire thing and edit each line that needs to be.
Oh, good Lord.
Jamie, don't you also have to do things like if there was something for the NFB or the ACB, it would try to pronounce that unless you go through there and put like N space F space.
Exactly,
B.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like with phone numbers, after every digit in a phone number, I have to put a period and a space.
Oh.
Otherwise, it would read it as one big number.
390. Oh, yeah. 4,000.
Website addresses, email addresses, all that stuff I have to space out, put periods.
You know, that might be a good thing to communicate to folks like me who send you stuff what to do to lessen your work.
And it's really not that big deal just because there is so much involved with it that editing it, it's just kind of second nature now. I would probably do that anyway, even if I told you to take out a lot of that stuff, because I'd need to make sure it still was going to sound okay. The thing that I do try and tell people is, if you're trying to make it pretty for me, you know, with the graphics or the logos, that kind of stuff, don't, because I'm taking it all out anyways and making it simple as possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I also wanted to make a comment, I did tell Jamie privately, and I want to go on public record as saying that Jamie is doing an outstanding job with Newsline. She's very approachable, very upbeat, very easy to work with. That's not criticizing the past, you know, coordinators and so on and so forth. You're doing a good job, Jamie. Keep it up.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Great. One real quick question. Does Newsline prefer that people, if they can, use the local number or get it via the email as opposed to
the 800? We prefer that you use the local number because it doesn't cost as much.
Okay.
The toll-free number does cost us so much per call.
Mm-hmm.
And if you call that local number, if you have the free nights and weekends,
mm-hmm.
On your cell phone or even unlimited long distance on your landline, mm-hmm. definitely call that number.
Okay.
Yep. And that's what I try and get across to subscribers as much as possible. Of course, that toll-free number is always there if they need it, but if by chance they have that cell phone or something, go ahead and use that.
It would still cost relatively little compared to buying a newspaper, wouldn't it?
Right.
Well, it costs nothing for the user.
Yeah, nothing.
That's what I mean. For the user to even with the, even like if you had the, I don't know, what do they do, 5 cents a minute or whatever? Through Cox.
Oh, you mean if they call that reasonable?
Yeah, if they had a loop, it's long distance, yeah.
It would still be reasonably
right,
cheap.
If they'd want to do that, yeah. But of course it is free to them, so they're more than mm-hmm. welcome to use that toll-free number. One of the features I did forget to talk about since I wasn't reading my notes is Potable News finally came out. That's a feature that's kind of been in the works for a while. That is the ability to kind of choose what they consider cafeteria style, the sections of the paper that you most want, and then compile it into your own newspaper. So if you like the sports from a paper in Texas, I've heard that the Austin paper has good sports updates. But yet you like the entertainment section in the Grand Island Independent and the international section in the Omaha World Herald, you can put all that together into your own paper. It just goes out and pulls those sections for you and compiles it into your own paper, and then you can download in that into any MP3 player, your VictReader stream, or your BookSense. So, that's a pretty cool little
good job,
feature.
I tell you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes.
Is there any other questions?
Thanks for giving all this all
together. I tell you what, hopefully you can be here in November.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to come again. I had emailed Pearl and told her I didn't think I was going to be able to make it because of driver issues, but we were able to pull it off last minute. And I really do enjoy being here, not only to be a part of the entire meeting and find out kind of what's going on. A lot of this I know, of course, from being a staff person, but just also, you know, a consumer. And then to be able to give my reports in person and have you ask questions, because it's kind of difficult to do that over email and so forth.
The other thing I'd like to suggest, and of course I'm not the chair, but Julie, I'm going to make the statement.
You
shut
can
me up
suggest
if you want.
Whatever you like.
I would like to suggest that going forward, like you did this time per my request, when you send your reports, send it to the commission email address.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to. Okay. And that will come up. We have another topic. But, yeah, this summer with my whole illness, I think the more that we can communicate with the entire board, I mean, unless there's some significant reason not to, then it's not dependent on me to pass that along.
Sure.
And
right. Yeah, and I do apologize. I had meant to get that to you sooner, the report. I know you guys like it at least a week in advance, if not 2 weeks. There was kind of two reasons I was holding off. One, I really wanted to have to brag about being in that monthly little update that we get from Baltimore. So I was waiting and waiting and waiting for them to get that sent out, and they finally sent it out yesterday. But then also with my job at the commission, with this CORE program, there was a lot of things that went on there, and late nights until 8 p.m. and so forth, so I didn't get it done.
Well, that's all right.
No, not a problem at all.
Fantastic.
No,
you did
that's
good.
Great. Thank you, and we'll look forward to November. We'll get the rest of the technical, like the phone and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
We'll get all that.
We'll meet and get that.
Yeah, get an update on all that. That would be great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right, I tell you. I'm
and I brought a report from Bill, the data about the cost of the news line. We pay quarterly, and for the phone, it's $4,866 a year. And then for the total, the phone plus the contract itself is $34,558,000.
Contract.
So with the agency pays the newsline, NFB newsline, for the service in Nebraska.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
It's been a long time since I've reported those numbers. Mm-hmm. I wanted you to know.
Now, Pearl, that 4,000, that is the phone line as far as the 800 number goes, correct? Not the actual line that subscribers can call?
That's the telecommunications subscription fee.
Okay.
And what we were told is that it does include, if I have this right, that it includes the toll-free and the other. It's just that the toll-free is a little more expensive than the other.
Right.
So
but that's not the actual phone bill for the physical phone that subscribers call in Lincoln.
Oh, no. That's what we paid a national to operate the... Yeah.
Right.
Thank
you
for clarifying that.
Any other question I had, I just remembered, and I don't think, Jimmy, I copied you on this, but in LB 352... It indicates that, you know, commission staff run this thing and so on. And I wish I had my laptop with me, but sections C, E, and F.
I have this up right now.
Are we in compliance with those?
The part that says provide for daily monitoring to assure prompt and accurate functioning, is that what you mean?
Yeah, well, C, E, and F, I think, were the things.
And see, basically, Jamie's role is what does C. And E develop and implement procedures for user certification. Again, that's where we work together to.
Okay, so E we're doing.
And the when the forms are sent, they go to. It used to be the Lincoln office of the commission. Now it's the North Platte office. So we provide that. And what F serves as coordinator between the system operator and the certified users. Again, it's the partnership. Technically, Jamie is that coordinator, but we, so it's not that we're out of compliance because a paid state employee doesn't do that. That's not the point. The point is that the agency, you know, coordinates with whoever's doing the coordinating. And that's why we were looking into the agency sponsorship, not to subvert anything or...
See, that was my concern.
No, that wasn't the point at all. It was to see what are some things where we could be more involved and maybe augment what is being done. So that's really...
Yeah, that was... I mean, you know, Jamie's doing a good job, and not the Kathy Campbell. That's just, you know, if there's some way to, to stay compliant without involving Kathy, that's great.
The only thing that I guess I question with this is, for instance, with F, serve as a coordinator between the system operator, which would be the National Federation of the Blind, and the certified users, and, that's just in this sense. Now, Jamie is filling that role, but I guess this is... being part of the commission bill here, this is saying that this is a role that the commission is supposed to
fulfill. That was my point exactly. That was what I was thinking when I was reading that, when I was putting it on the agenda.
And so when we have discussions about, and I know the role that Jamie fills for the commission, you know, is for a specific reason. And you know, her time is dedicated for the what she's hired for there.
Right.
And this is, and I there's no answer for this right now, but this the way that reads to me is that the commission is supposed to be
one
providing the coordinator or arranging for that coordinator.
That's what drew my flag when I
Let me speak to that. When we originally, the NFBN provided $5,000 a year, roughly, I think that was the amount, to the commission to, and we basically contracted with a consumer to do that. And then when we had major issues with funding, we said that we could use that $5,000 to pay for the bill of Newsline itself, and we could have someone on staff to do the coordinating. And we agree with the point about it. It needs to be at least the person that's in touch and does some parts of it needs to be a user of the system.
Right.
No argument there. But we thought that we had, from within our staff, the capacity to make that happen. And so we were going to do it that way. At that point, since then, we haven't received any funding from NFB of Nebraska, and NFB of Nebraska chose to go ahead and hire their own or contract with their own coordinator.
Right.
So
and they picked
they've
a good
done
one.
That. But I still, you know, we certainly could fill that capacity, just like, I mean, I'm sure Jamie, when you started, had to learn what are the editing things that have to be done. That can be learned. But anyway, so that's kind of where that's at.
Okay.
See, I thought initially, you know, if we're not complying with, you know, those sections, let's take it out. I mean, we could still...
It's state law.
Well, I know, yeah, but we could approach the UNICAM and say, take it out, we're not doing this.
No.
A lot of work.
I think, more to the point, the law doesn't mean... You know, when it says the agency has to do this or that, it still means the agency has to make sure it happens.
Right.
It doesn't mean, you know, I have to sit in my office and edit the
thing.
Yeah. You know, it's the agency is, we make sure that it occurs. If the NFB decided that they couldn't provide that coordinator anymore, we would, you know, make sure that it was provided some other way.
Okay.
So it's that working together to make sure that the provisions of the law are carried out. That's how it works.
That makes sense.
Yeah, from that standpoint, you're right. Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, good job, Jamie. Keep it up.
Any other news line questions from the board? Okay. We will move on to our next topic, which is the client assistance program, CAP complaints or issues.
Zero complaints this quarter.
Good. That's an easy one.
Okay, next item.
Next item.
Quick.
That was quick, yes, and that will be the last quick one. Is an update on the issues with the Randolph Shepherd program bids.
Okay. This actually won't be as long as you might be thinking. We had a meeting with the state office building people just a couple days ago, and was it Friday or Thursday? It was Thursday afternoon. And this was regarding mainly the cafeteria in the state office building in Lincoln. As you know, we were granted that that contract a couple months ago, or a month ago. I lose track of time, but I think it was June 30th was when it was updated last. And so we have a great plan, which they accepted, but it's been kind of on hold for building issues. But it's ready to go. The State Building Division, the week after next, is going to go in and repair walls, paint walls, repaint cabinets, redo the, well, paint the ceiling and redo the lighting fixtures. Just a lot of work in the cafeteria that hasn't been done in a long time. And then our vendor will close down for the week. He'll spend the week with his crew making sure all the equipment is cleaned and, you know, tuned up and everything. And then starting August 30th, we'll begin a process of, the vendor will provide hot breakfast and then mid-afternoon kind of break food. But for the lunchtime, the caterers will come in, and these are local restaurants, Mazatlan, the Parthenon, Runza, Breda, Mr. Good Sense, Parker's Rib Ranch, and Valentino's. And so the people that are at the building, you know, will get real high-quality, popular restaurant food in the state office building. Our vendor will still be basically in charge of making sure that's working properly, and but the restaurants, the caterers, will come in and provide the food and do the cleanup, and so it should be a really good solution. And so that's finally moving very nicely. All of the vending part of the bids, that's still up in the air, and so we don't know what will occur with that yet. And we do have, things are going well with the Ashland, the National Guard camp. The vendor for that is working closely with the partnering entity, the company that we, it's called a teaming partner, who provides the food and a lot of the kind of big picture mechanisms of running the mess hall at the Guard. And then the vendor, our blind vendor, you know, does the work to make sure it's all moving properly and hiring people and working with the Guard to deal with any issues that might come up. And that's really working pretty well. And then he also has a, we have a contract with the National Guard at Hastings, but the training that's there is sporadic. It's usually like one or two weekends every 6 months or so, and so it's not nearly as big of a project as Ashland. And that's pretty much, I talked about the staffing of it earlier, but that's pretty much how that goes.
So it's back on track and the bumps are...
Well, but yeah, I would say most of the bumps. Still not knowing about the vending part of the state bid is, I suppose, a pretty big pothole in the middle of the road.
Mm-hmm. Is there any timeline on that?
No, it's just up in the air. But we got some hints that we might know something soon. And now, Kathy, on the business enterprise, can you think of any other aspect that I haven't really explained that I'm... I think I've covered it all.
Yeah, you've covered all the...
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Questions from the board? Nope. Okay. Well, we'll move on to our next topic, which is the budget update.
All right. Well, the draft narrative was due August 2nd. I think that's the right date. And we got that done. I think I emailed that to you as well.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, good. That's just the narrative part. And it was important with, I'm sure everybody here knows that the state is facing pretty severe budget deficit, and so it's important this go around for the next biennium to be upfront about what it is we need to operate, but yet to not be really pushing for extra money, because all the state agencies will be lucky if they get a level funding, honestly. So we're not going to request any extra funding. We did, mostly Bill and I so far, but we'll be working with the other teams later. We're kind of going through how the budget currently is and what we can be looking at for the next 2 years. The current appropriation is $1,012,185. That's of state money. And of course that's used to match the federal. We need the certain parts that are for specific parts of the budget, but what it boils down to is that we need from the state for match $942,185. We need funds for the senior blind program, and that's our current appropriation. The senior blind is a specific part, $126,000 is the senior blind. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, trying to boil it down to what makes sense, what we intend to request from the legislature is mostly what it is that we need for match for the federal funds and to continue our senior blind program. And so that's basically how that works. Once we start putting the actual numbers into the spreadsheet, then I'll be able to provide that to you. And Bill's working on that. Excuse me. We have to have our biennium proposal in September 15th, and so that'll be there part of the proposal, it has to be what, you know, our basic proposal, which is what I've been talking about, and then each time we always have to do what's called a budget modification. And normally what that means is we have to tell them how we would manage with 5% less money. This year we have to write the budget modification based on 10% less. Okay. So that would be huge. The last budget, the modification things that we included were spending less on case services, spending money on employee relocation or tuition assistance, sending people to conferences, any kind of consultant services, board and lodging for staff, or like this meeting's a good example, you know, maybe forcing it to only be in, or to minimize the amount of lodging that would be required anyway. Say fewer state cars, and then the things we would like to cut least would be staffing, because our staff really are the services we provide.
Yes.
Now, the technology that we provide, the tuition for college, those things, those are important parts of what we do, but we couldn't do any of it if it weren't for the staff that do the counseling and the training. So we will, I think those basic types of cuts would be what we would propose first. They'd be similar. 2 years ago when we did all this, and 4 years ago, we did spend a lot of time with consumers, with staff, with everybody, you know, coming up with ideas for how to cut costs and be as efficient as possible. And we actually implemented a lot of those things. Counselors still travel, but they're not on the road as much. You know, they try to be really efficient in their scheduling, and supervisors really work at making sure those things happen. Let's see. You know, there's a lot of things that we've already put into place, so cutting 10% would be huge. But I believe that the same basic approaches would still be where we would, you know, there wouldn't be anything really different today that we didn't go through in a lot with a lot of time and detail in the past. So, of course, we're open to any ideas people might have, but the premises will be pretty consistent with the past.
My math skills, as I said earlier, are terrible, but apparently when I was gone, I know there was, got a chance to glance at some of the emails, and somewhere I think a question might have come up about, you know, driving to meetings in the morning and things like that. And I was just thinking this morning, it's more of a comment than a question, I guess, but it would be very hard for especially people like you and Kathy, it seems, to drive here in the morning and have to get things set up and going. But if we all, like in a, you know, traveling from Omaha to Hastings, taking a morning trip and not staying, would it be something that would make the budget a little easier? Or
I would say for these four times a year meetings, not so much. But for the everyday, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. there definitely are ways that things could be cut. Mm-hmm. The issue with is it hard or not hard? I mean, we're happy to work hard, and we do work hard.
Okay, that's a bad, yeah, wrong.
But honestly, there have been some times when I've driven a van to a meeting a couple hours. I've spent the 6 to 8 hours, they used to be longer, in the meeting, very, you know, involved mentally, and then driven back. And by the end of getting home, I felt like, that's not safe. I was not my best to be driving. And so, you know, maybe it'd be different if the people, you know, Kathy's job and my job weren't also the drivers. But to do all that, there's a point where, you know, sure, it costs some money, but, I mean, there the choice might be all the meetings in Lincoln or where some people had to come in, but not quite as many. Costs like it costs money to have coffee, at, you know. So there, when we do look at the figures, we look at a lot more than just the dollars. And some of the points made about the transition programs are kind of a good example, because it's clear, you know, there's no question that those things are, they make a huge difference in people's lives. So, yes, they're expensive, but we would have to be, you know, really pretty down to the bone to have to even consider getting rid of them. But sometimes we have to have fewer participants, which can make a big difference. You know, we have to look at all of those things.
Yeah, and I guess the word hard was a bad choice of the word, but you know, like you said, though, you have to look at the money, but also the human figure and effectiveness and
you
bet.
And that's kind of what I was
safety. You know, when you drive, you got to be sharp to drive.
Exactly.
You
know? Well, that's the theory.
Dan Byrne's a great example. He does an excellent job.
And he sleeps
during the day. You know, he has some time that he can kind of relax his brain a little bit. It's different than, you know, the work that you all do and that we do.
No, you know, that's something I don't think about, but yeah, the driving part, and then have
it's
When we get into the car, we can lay our head back and take a nap. The driver can't do that.
Right.
The driver shouldn't do that.
I guess.
Let's point that out. The driver shouldn't do that.
No. But I guess from my point of view, you know, when my opinion is when it comes time to, you know, hash out all the details of how, if there were a reduction of 10%, you know, how would we handle that? I think in the short term, that limiting meetings to Lincoln and Omaha is a viable solution, you know, is an option. You know, and even for me, it's a long day to go to Omaha, you know, that morning.
Right.
But I've done it, and, you know, I would be willing. I mean, it's a small thing, but I think those add up.
Yes. Right.
So, yeah, I guess I'm willing to make those sacrifices, you know. But I think eventually, you know, once once the economy rebounds and we have that money, we really do need to have meetings where more people have the opportunity.
Absolutely. I think it's really important to go to different parts of the state.
I do.
I really do. I think it is important to get out there.
Right.
If locals come, great. If they don't, at least they have the opportunity.
Right.
But our state staff meetings are another example. Mm-hmm. We used to, number one, meet twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go different parts of the state for state staff. Well, when you do that, everybody from Omaha and Lincoln, which is the majority of our staff, have the overnights, the travel, the being elsewhere. So for the past several years, we have just had the meetings in Lincoln, not because we Lincoln people don't want to bother, but because it's a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. So,
we can worry about that if it comes to that, but hopefully it doesn't.
Yeah, but I appreciate the comment.
Yeah, but I
that's your point.
If we need to schedule meetings strictly Lincoln and Omaha, you know, for the next year, then I'm fine with that. If that's anyway, other budget update concerns, questions?
I think those are unless somebody else can think of. A little bit ago, I thought I heard a
Was there a question from the public?
Shane's on here.
The only question that I have is, I know we're talking about a budget here, but we're looking at the programs. I know that sometimes when the crunch comes in, we're like, with the seniors. Can you reach out, if I know we're state agency per se, to corporates, sponsorships, do those type of things where we start setting a fund together, where you've gotten a hold of TIAG or throwing out UP, some of our larger businesses in the state, because there could be a, when you look at the kids program, potential employees for them down the road, or even for some of their own, excuse me, employees who are facing some challenges, blindness, whatever can happen at onset later in life. Can we reach out to them? Because I know this is state money we're talking about, but set up funds that can be kind of a growing type of fund from corporate type sponsorships to offset some of this. We're not always going to the state themselves and doing that.
A couple of ways to answer that. First of all, yes, we can. The agency can, and in the past, we really did a lot of working at that sort of thing. Bob's a really good grant writer, and we've worked together on different proposal types of things. For the most part, a lot of the funding entities don't want to fund a state agency. And they say, okay, you're government. And that's true of private corporations as well as businesses, which usually have a charitable part of their work. So that's been a challenge. We do have a grant in Omaha from the Omaha Foundation for providing some technology and equipment for people in the Omaha, greater Omaha area. And from time to time, we've had different things. There also is a Friends of the Commission organization, which is, they've done some different things at times. And right now, they're working on a letter to financial consultants, I think throughout the state, to encourage those financial consultants to tell their clients about the commission. And the donations would go to Friends of the Commission, and then they help us with projects and things. So it's, the other piece of it is that kind of work is very time and energy consuming. And I know in the past we've spent a lot of time on it, and then we kind of go through a period where we don't see the value, and plus nobody has the time to even work on it. But I think that sort of thing is usually in the back of our minds, and even as counselors and staff are out in their communities and talking with business people and so on. We've had some donations from companies who have an employee who's a parent of a PI kid, then have donated to the commission to help fund PI. So some of that does happen.
And on the other side of the coin, if you're not having staff meetings in various parts of the state, you don't really know what's going on there. If the staff comes into Omaha, they can say or do whatever they think you want to hear. But if you go out to them, so if you just can't say, well, we just won't do that anymore. It needs to be done
right
at some time or another.
We do go to the offices, administratives do. What I meant is when we have a full state staff meeting where all the staff of all our offices meet in one location.
It's more like a training opportunity than a check to see what you've been doing thing.
But your point is absolutely true. There has to be communication, and we really have never been one of those agencies that Lincoln is it, or Omaha is it, and the other people are just sort of the riffraff. I mean, a lot of state agencies, I shouldn't say a lot.
A lot of state agencies are riffraff.
Perception.
Oh, yeah.
But I've certainly always believed, and I think, you know, always we've had the belief in you've got to be statewide, you've got to be have offices around and have staff go. Because even from a local office, say North Platte, that's a long ways from communities in,
right,
you know, Valentine. Yeah. And so you have to have staff that will go to the people. And so that's always been a big part of our whole approach, going to the communities and working with the individuals wherever they are.
Find the exact centers. Find the exact center point of Nebraska. Then we'll have all of our meetings there, and just have tents. And
that'd be Kearney.
That's
Kearney.
Not tent.
Kearney.
Oh,
yes.
Kearney. Kearney.
Yep. This is Jamie. I just want to mention that I would really hate to see the commissioners' meetings be focused only in Lincoln and Omaha.
I agree.
Because
I do
it
too.
Gives consumers a chance to attend the meetings when they're across.
I agree.
Right.
I would even be willing to give up our.
You're not going to have.
I'd
even be willing to give up the meal, you know, meal per diems, and we even have to, it's a long ride, but we even have to go to Scotts Bluff every couple of years.
I even pay my own hotel bill.
That was
there you go. You can have the commissioners,
you know, I know
pay
it's
their
been
a hotel bill.
Yeah, it's, I know it's been a practice for everybody to have their own room, but I would not object to two people in the room.
I would. I'll pay my own hotel bill.
Room with you, I don't. The
feeling is mutual. Feeling is mutual, Nancy. Let me tell you.
Even if we drew a line and said Omaha, Lincoln, Kearney, North Platte, even North Platte might give people from Panhandle a chance to get there. That is still a far.
You know, I think there are.
I think we have to.
And I don't. I don't think we're talking about forever and ever, because I think that the budget will be. We'll be back.
I don't want.
Okay, you know.
I just got to really say this though, and I know this. I'm getting too controversial here, I guess. But we can't tell people out there. That's it. But we can't tell people, oh, our budget, we can't come for a couple of years.
Daryl's right.
We have to still have. We started it. You know, Jim suggested it at first, and I didn't agree. I says I don't want to go to all these places and. It's been very good. We get a decent turnout. We just can't.
I agree.
And like Jamie says, we really need.
We can crouch on Jamie's couch. If
and of course, you can say, "Well, we're just going to do this as a temporary measure." But when you do that,
it becomes
set
permanent.
Precedent for
you
never
bet.
Doing it again. Mm-hmm.
You bet.
Those are all things
once
that really
you know,
need to be taken.
You need to think about
sure.
it when you're.
You bet.
Deciding
I agree.
What to do.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So honestly, I'll pay my own hotel bill.
Okay.
In Scotts Bluff.
Okay. Other budget issues anyone would like to?
Mike, were you going to say something about that?
No.
Okay. Pearl, is there anything else you wanted to? Okay. I think we should move on to our next topic, which is discussion of the Service Provider Award. Background of several. Many months ago, 6 or 9 months ago now, there was a suggestion sent to the suggestion box, which is available for staff, to have some sort of award to companies, agencies, organizations that go above and beyond to really further the commission's mission. You know, when we had our, was it the last meeting or the one, must have been February, when we were in Omaha, and the topic was on deafblind services, and, you know, there is, the example that comes to mind is the Commission for the Deaf, and those services have, and the, what's the other, Helen Keller Institute, the regional people, have been very, very supportive and, you know, excellent to work with. And so there was a suggestion that we recognize that partnership. So last meeting or the one before, I forget the timeline now, we did agree to offer a service provider award. And so today we need to discuss hopefully the final details and make decisions.
Right.
About that.
I think I can add to that just a little bit more.
And that, yeah, and Mike is the subcommittee on that.
He's leading the charge.
It all, like you said, it all started in February. Then at our last meeting is where we got most of it hammered out. our final decision was is that we'd end up with two separate awards. One of them, the first one being, you know, like a certificate or something like that, something that we could hand out to those groups or individuals that support us and really help us out. We, you know, as a token of our appreciation. And then there was, for lack of a better word, something a little more prestigious, something a little another less a level. People who've gone several steps beyond what was expected of them. And that one, you know, maybe that would be a plaque or something like that. I don't know. But that's what we had talked about. We talked about a name for those awards. And the first one, we talked about ally in independence. We talked about an ally in independence. And it was suggested that we should include the word blindness in there. So I have written down ally in blindness independence. And then the second one we had talked about was the James Nyman Award. And I have since discussed it with Dr. Nyman, and he preferred not to have his name used. He said, I'm not dead yet, I think was his.
That sounds like something he would say, too.
Anyway, he requested that we not do that. Julie, you asked me to come up with a few more ideas. I have a few written down here. And I think that's where we're at, is basically just finalizing the name and we're done.
Okay.
Other than, you know, somebody actually cobbling together the, you know, what a certificate might look like or something like that. But the couple names that I had written down here were, and this is one I think we talked about and rejected last time, was the Commissioner's Award or something. It might be the Commissioner's Advocacy in Blindness Award, possibly. If somebody still wanted to use a name, the only other one that I think would even be remotely appropriate would be something with Barbara Lose's name, just because she was the first chairperson of the Board of Commissioners. But I have not talked to her about that. But I think what my actual proposal would be, what I'm going to ask for your guys' approval, is a little simpler than all of that, and that the first award just be called the Advocate for Independence Award, and the second one, a little more prestigious, would be the Ally in Blindness Independence Award.
I like those. Personally, I like that.
But, you know, like I said, I had a couple other suggestions there that came to mind, and I'm obviously open for anything else that people might have in mind.
Thoughts, comments, discussion?
You're saying the second one, Ally, A-L-L-Y.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with it.
Would you have the word blindness in the first one, too?
Yes.
Blindness advocacy? Or?
Yeah. Somebody might help me here if this is not grammatically correct, but Advocate for Blindness Independence Award.
I think with the word blindness in both of those are cool.
And then the second one was Ally in Blindness Independence Award. And the only way, and the order that those are in is just that I just personally thought that the word ally was a little stronger of a word than advocate, as far as their somebody's dedication to a cause. Mm-hmm. And so that's the reason they're in the order they are.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Hello? Any other discussion?
I see no problem with it.
No. Okay. I think we should vote. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Do you need a motion, or are we good?
I like them both. Yes.
I do too.
Okay.
There was a Mike made the motion, didn't he?
I don't know.
No, I just said that this was my proposal.
I move that we accept both those terms. And
I second that.
Okay, Nancy?
I agree, yes.
Yes, Jim?
Yeah, I agree too.
Mike?
Yes.
And Daryl?
Yep, I mean, yes.
And I, yes. So we will use those two terms, phrases for the names of the awards. And Mike, could you please work on, you know, what the certificate.
Yeah, we can come up with something for a little thank you paragraph on the certificate or something like that.
Yeah, and then send out an email to everyone with those names, and I need something to put into my save folder so I can remember what they are, and then the criteria and all the particulars. You can probably pull it from the minutes.
Yeah, I don't think we have any criteria in the sense that we generally like to leave things open so that we don't tie our hands.
Right, but I know we discussed more details last time, so we can pull those out of the minutes.
Yeah,
so.
And I have those.
Okay, that would be awesome, just because if I don't have it, like,
right.
I never remember. So I just need something to refer to. Okay, any more, anything about that? Thing? Okay. Then we'll move on to our next item, which is public comment.
Any public
comment? So, if you guys are still awake out there, anything that you would like to comment on, ask questions about, anything you'd like to share at all? About any, it doesn't have to be about what we've been talking about. It's anything related to the commission.
This is Hubert. With general respect to the budget, I'm increasingly hearing through various media candidates and politicians talking about looking into curtailing or doing away with what they call niche programs.
Niche.
You know, niche, yeah. Uh-huh. And so I think it behooves all of us in the blindness community to keep our ears open, hear what these folks are saying, and be ready to counter with arguments for retaining programs, because they're bound to look at the programs for the blind as being a niche program. I heard some comments that I guess on the federal level, some congressman is calling for certain programs to be deleted from the Department of Education's programs. Mm-hmm. So they're going to, I'll bet you they're going to be looking for others to do something about too.
I know, Hubert, that there have been some schools for the blind that have closed. Oregon.
Yeah.
Comes to mind. There's a couple few others. Illinois, I think, was another one. So you're right, the blind seem like they're on the chopping block.
A lot of it is true that a lot of the reason why people closures of blind schools is because they don't go to, they don't, not many people go to them. They go to their own public school.
Has there been any discussion that anybody's heard? I know a number of years ago it was trying to do away with this body. I think Nancy Thompson was an instigator of that. Anybody heard whether this body is on the chopping block?
Or could be?
The commission?
The commission.
The commission itself.
It is not at this point. The point that Hubert makes is a good one. It can always be brought up. Mm-hmm. But I think if the allies and advocates and the consumers.
I like the way you worked that in there. Yeah.
And staff, it's just crucial that all of us do communicate to our senators the investment in blind people. It's not just a feel good thing. That results in payback to. Wow. The community and even to the state budget, the money spent on rehab for the blind really is an investment, and it reaps rewards for for communities financially and taxes
also
people pay.
Tax money from people who now have a job.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what
I was.
So there are a lot of good reasons that it makes sense to have a quality commission.
Well, I agree. I was referring to the board. I mean, because, you know, this commission board costs money.
Well, if it's a commission, we have to have a board.
There has to be a board.
Okay, all right.
The only way we could not have a board is if
no
we went back to
HHS.
Or wherever. Yeah.
Some other umbrella.
Okay.
And I don't think the moves to ever get rid of commissions have been to get rid of the board. It's been people that have wanted to combine services or had an axe to grind and weren't satisfied. And they were trying to get rid of the whole
concept
and do it however they want to do it.
Pearl, I have a question for you. And I think that you're still doing this anyway, but just, you know, it's been the policy to invite the state legislatures to the commission and have them come through. Is that kind of thing still?
We still do that.
Because I personally, I think that when they see, firsthand how things are done there, and the eagerness of the people that are going through the center and how they're looking forward to going back to their job or finding a job or going to school or on and on, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that really gives them a positive frame of mind and less likely to say, well, we need to get rid of the commission and go back to the umbrella thing.
Right. And when people, especially, I mean, the policymakers are important, but anybody, when they come and tour the center, that's a great way to, in a short hour or two, really get inspired with what the whole agency does. And so it's great. As much as possible, we do try to get the folks to come. Kathy.
One other problem, though, now with the senators and their shorter terms, a new senator that comes in, it seems like they spend their first year just trying to get to know what it means to be a senator.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they don't have much of a chance to learn about each individual agency that first year. And so somebody plants a seed in their head about an agency becoming an umbrella under a different agency, they truly don't know anything.
Right.
And so they're looking, making decisions, or a lot of decisions, without having full knowledge of what every agency is about. And it's just the way it is with short terms.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not their fault.
This is Hubert again. I've read some of the narratives that folks who've gone through the center put together at the end of their time, and I wonder whether those should be forwarded on to our state senators.
We do. I think, always send them to that person's senator.
Oh, okay.
That's a terrific idea.
Which I think is very good. Whether they should go to all of them or not is another question. But yeah, we do.
They can always delete them, but if they're...
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and I think if they get a flood of things, you tend to get numb to it and you delete. But I think sending them...
We have somebody completing their center training.
Yeah, it wouldn't be... Yeah. That's...
Okay.
Well...
We do, after each election, we send a letter. And Kathy and I work on that, and it goes to...
So
I think we've been doing... Everybody that was running, including new ones and ones that are reelected. I don't mean including the ones that ran and didn't get elected, but not just the new ones, the incumbents and the new senators, to remind them or introduce them to what the agency is and encourage them to either visit us in Lincoln or visit their local office and get acquainted with the staff in that area.
I think that's really,
not to staff, but to find out what the consumers are doing.
Right. I think that's great.
Thank you.
Any other comments, questions, concerns? Anything?
All right.
Okay. We will move on to our next item. which is elections. We need to elect president, vice president, and what's the other position called?
Chair,
secretary?
Vice chair, and executive secretary.
What did I just, say
president?
I need
She wants a higher title.
Chair, Kathy's vice chair, and executive secretary.
There it is.
I would like to to make this simple, I would really like to nominate the three people that are already in those positions.
You took my idea. I'm going to second that.
Okay. So the motion and second is to elect Daryl as the executive secretary, mm-hmm. Jim Yurok as vice chair, and me, Julie Johnson, as the chairperson.
The only objection...
Are we on solid ground to do it this way?
The only objection I would have now that I think about this is we have to have a roll call with that, and Julie cannot do her own
I have one
election.
Other comment, and that is that these three individuals need to accept that they would be reappointed.
This is true.
Well, this individual accepts.
Okay, Kathy, is that possible to do that?
Well, I recommend that you do them separately only
okay.
because... If I was a commissioner, I might want Jim to be vice chair, but I might not want Julie to be chair.
Yeah. Well, that's why you're not commissioner.
Okay, I withdraw the motion, and I will nominate Julie Johnson as chairperson.
Second.
Okay, and
Jim, I think you have to.
Is that legal? I didn't withdraw my second. I will, but I didn't.
Yeah. You're good.
I vetoed it, so we're moving on.
Well, I guess I got told, didn't I? So, okay.
Jim, I think you have to run this, right?
So, okay, there's a motion and a second that I be elected as the chairperson, and I will accept that, and then I will hand it over to Jim to do the voting.
All right, Julie has accepted the nomination as chair. And for the record, you're doing a good job. We will start with the voting. We'll do we're going
to
press everybody.
There's any more nominations?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, you're right. Any other nominations? Any other nominations? Last time, any others? All right. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion. We close the nominations and proceed with the vote. All right. Do we need to second that?
Second.
Can we do acclamation here or not?
No,
it needs to be a roll call. Yeah, that's a state for you. Anyway, Mike, we'll start with you.
Yes.
Daryl?
Yep.
Julie?
I'll abstain.
Nancy?
Yes.
I will vote for Julie as well, so you're in.
Fine.
Good job.
Congratulations, Julie.
Thank you. We'll move on to the vice chairman position, chairperson position. Are there any nominations?
I nominate Jim Yurok.
And I second. I mean, I agree. I mean, I accept.
You accept.
Okay, first I need a second. For that
I'll second.
Okay, and Jim accepts. So
I could have second my own nomination.
I think you can.
Could I?
I'm pretty sure.
Anyway.
Okay, we'll vote. Nancy?
Yes.
Jim?
There were no other nominations.
Oh,
there.
I'm sorry. Seriously, people, I am dragging.
I knew.
Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? And the final time, are there any other nominations? No. Okay. Hearing none, we will vote. Nancy?
Yes.
Jim?
I will abstain.
Okay. Mike?
Yes.
And Daryl?
Yes.
And I'll, yes. Congratulations, Jim.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever. And then we will move on to executive secretary.
I'll nominate Daryl.
I will second the nomination.
Daryl, do you accept?
I will accept.
Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Any other nominations?
I'll move they close and we vote.
We vote. Okay. Nancy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yep.
Mike?
Yep.
Daryl?
Abstain.
And say yes. So congratulations, Daryl.
Thank you.
I got it right there. The third time's a charm, I guess.
Hey, there you go.
Okay. So those will be for the next year, pending everyone remains on the board. Okay. Our next item is...
No, you've got a point, depending on when anybody...
retires or...
Oh, okay. Are Nancy and I now... That was some confusing last year. Are Nancy and I good then now for our second term?
Yes.
We don't have to reapply or nothing, right?
No.
You got appointed last year.
No, you got a four-year
term. Well, that's what
I
thought, but I know we had some... Okay.
You were just appointed this year.
Unless you didn't get a letter from the...
No, I did.
I did, too.
I got some sort of plaque.
May I...
Yes, okay. Please.
I brought the chart that Kathy keeps updated. Mm-hmm. Daryl and Nancy are both in their second full term, and they will serve, unless they change their mind, mm-hmm. they've been appointed to serve until December 31, 2013. So it's
okay.
A ways
Thank
away.
You. That makes it clear. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sorry you're stuck with us.
Mike Hansen
yeah, I'm sorry, too.
Serves until December 31, 2011, but he is replacing a person, so he actually is not even in his first term.
Oh,
if he chooses to request reappointment and is reappointed, then he can serve two more full four-year terms after December 31, 2011.
See, I don't agree with that logic.
I'm glad I asked the question.
Julie, it's the same. No, she's in her first term, which ends 12/31/11. So if she wishes to reapply and is reappointed, she would have another 4 years after that.
Okay.
And then Daryl, and maybe I already said this.
You did,
in your third. Okay.
And Jim is the same.
I'm the same as Julie.
That's mm-hmm. the one I did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Jim and Julie both have.
Yeah, we're on the same schedule. Okay.
It does get confusing.
Thank you for clarifying.
It's good that they're staggered, though. I like that idea much better.
Who come up with a guideline, and I didn't agree with it when Nancy and Daryl were there, that if you are filling someone's unexpired term, that doesn't count as a term for that individual.
It's actually in the statute.
Harry Truman did it.
It was made as a part of the statute for how it would work.
Two full. How did it read? Two.
All right. Section statute 71-8604, parens 2 and parens. Board members. Pardon?
Parens to the governor.
Yeah, same with the governor. Yeah.
Board members shall be appointed for staggered terms, with the initial members appointed for terms as follows: two members for terms ending on December 31, 2001, and three members for terms ending December 31, 2003. Subsequent appointments shall be for terms of 4 years, with no board member appointed to more than two consecutive terms. Board members whose terms have expired shall continue to serve until their successors have been appointed. In the case of a vacancy, the governor shall appoint a successor for the unexpired term. Board members may be removed for cause. Appointments after 12/31/05 will be 4 year terms. And then the two term rule counts only when a commissioner has served two of their own terms.
Okay.
When replacing someone, they are allowed to serve additional years.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're kind of penalizing that person, Jim.
Well, that's true.
Right.
I haven't. Is there still coffee available?
Probably.
Could somebody, Jamie, or could
maybe
I beg
Daniel.
A cup, please?
You want me to throw water on your face?
No, I
moving
think
moving forward.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Pearl, for that clarification.
Sure.
Our next topic is board members seeking employment with NCBVI. There was an issue, and thank you. The state law was complied with, but there was, Jim brought up the ethical implications of a board member seeking employment with NCBVI while still sitting as a board member. And as it stands, maybe Pearl, you could explain, there are procedures you have to go through, and maybe you could briefly highlight what that is.
Yeah. And I brought that information from July of 09 when we went through this. And we checked with the Department of Accountability and Disclosures, Frank Daly's the director of that, and then also with Bill Wood, who's the attorney director of employee relations with state personnel. They both said that the important thing is for the individual to complete the conflict of interest form, or it's actually called potential conflict of interest statement, and it addresses what the issues are. In the case of a commissioner wanting to become an employee, it could go both ways. Number one, it could be perceived that there's pressure on the agency to hire them since they're in the, you know, lofty position of being a commissioner. So that could be a conflict for pressure that way. There also could be the pressure of if they didn't get hired, the fear that, I mean, that the person could kind of hold a grudge and serve as a commissioner in a way that was really
detrimental
or counterproductive and based on their own personal grudge. Neither one of those things would be any good. And there also could be the potential that a commissioner that would be hired would then feel like they had more say in things or didn't have to listen to their supervisor or something like that. And so, you know, the main thing is that the individual can think through all that stuff and explain it correctly on the form. And by putting the form, it helps them make sure they really are thinking of that and being ethical in what they're doing. And assuring that there isn't going to be a conflict of interest. So the procedure is there.
And then once that form is completed and submitted, is there a review, or that's all that's done, is just that it's...
Oh, okay, thank you. Very good point. Mm-hmm. It is reviewed by the Director of Accountability and Disclosures, which I think actually that's good because they're one removed. It's not you reviewing it or the agency reviewing it, but this other entity, which is an official state. I mean, that's what he's in charge of, is ethics for all state, not just employees, but figures.
Right.
So.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Questions about the existing procedures?
Questions, no.
Okay.
I think it's, so they have to fill this out after they apply, or when they apply?
No,
it's before.
Before.
Yeah, before they apply for a position.
The concerns that I had, and we won't rehash it, but the concerns that I had last year were already addressed by Pearl. There is a potential that, you know, of a perceived conflict, you know, it goes both ways, and I suggested that the individual should resign before you know to avoid any appearance of, not saying she or he was unethical or what have you, but just to avoid the appearance. And when I discussed it after the individual was hired with the individual that hired her, them, the response I got was, what if she didn't get the position? Or he didn't get the position. To which I responded, not my problem. They were the ones that chose to apply for it. Henceforth, you suffer the consequence.
I don't agree. I thought about this, and I've really seen this. And in some ways, if the person was on the board, and if I was interviewing that person, and they decide, if I'm the administrator, and they put themselves into that position, resign from the commission, and then go to apply to me for the job, I might think that a little arrogant of them that they're resigning and thinking they're going to get the job. So I think this person was put in a, you know, very difficult situation, and I don't think that there was anything else he or she could have done. And I think I'm very comfortable with, you know, what happened.
I think that we want to make sure that we do whatever we can to ensure that we have the best people possible serving on the Board of Commissioners, as well as employed by the Commission for the Blind. And sometimes, now there's, obviously you can't do both. So if you are an employee, you would, and were a commissioner, you would have to resign. But by having a rule saying that this, if someone's going to apply for a job, and then they not get it, then you might lose a very qualified commissioner. And being that there is a blindness requirement for some of us, that might be a blind individual. And we all know from our battles with employment that finding a job as a blind person is an extremely difficult thing to do. And by making a rule like what's being suggested, then you are limiting employment possibilities for a blind individual, which is already a tough battle.
I don't know if I would.
Yeah, that argument doesn't hold water, Mike.
I don't know that being a board position is like a lucrative job. You know,
no, I'm not saying a board position is.
But working for the commission.
The position at the commission.
I'm sorry, I totally misunderstood what you were.
Okay. You could have somebody who is a stay-at-home parent that is on that is a very intelligent person that is on the Board of Commissioners, and they want to better themselves and go out and find lucrative employment. And one of the places that they might be able to find employment is with the Commission for the Blind. And if you say that they can't do that because they're a board of commissioner, they're on the Board of Commissioners, then, you know, that takes away that opportunity for them.
Perhaps this is in the laws. It just seems like this keeps bringing up more questions. I'm sorry. But if, let's say I were to be interviewed on Monday for a position, and we had our meeting today and we went into executive session on something, is it in the bylaws that I would have to recuse myself from that? Or that scares me a tad. If I were to, you know what I'm saying?
First of all, no, it's not in there. It's not written anywhere. Mm-hmm. But, for example, it was decided when the individual who did mm-hmm. go through this last year that mm-hmm. in the interim between the last board meeting she attended and when she actually mm-hmm. started her work as an employee, there was a little period of time. Mm-hmm. And she still was, I think, getting communications, but mm-hmm. it might be a little fuzzy, but it was decided that if there, you know, sometimes there are email exchanges that are mm-hmm. substantive issues for the board to deal with, mm-hmm. That she wasn't a part of those because she already had resigned, you know. So I think, you know, it would depend on when the official resignation was, but I believe with the timing of this that the two would not overlap, the accepting the position of employee and ending mm-hmm. your term as the commissioner. It wouldn't overlap.
I guess I was just concerned about public perception. I mean, and I'm not saying the individual is unethical.
This must be common state practice, though. I mean, I don't.
Well, it could very well be.
I would be willing to bet, though, that it doesn't come up very often.
Probably not.
No, probably not. No, just like canceling a meeting for a caucus doesn't. We have a guideline in place for that.
No,
there was
no.
a procedure in place that was followed. Mm-hmm. Now, I would just your concern, Jim. I think it you know, it might be appropriate, it would be up to that individual, but it would probably be appropriate that during certain roll call votes, maybe that they recuse themselves, possibly, mm-hmm. depending
well,
on what
I,
the
well,
vote
I could,
is for.
I could live with that.
Okay, this is, now, yeah. I just got to ask this.
Let me finish that thought, because I think that's a good piece of it, is that, let's say I'm a commissioner and I've applied for a job, but I don't know yet, interviews aren't even set, you know, it's in process. I think it would be very reasonable in the meeting, say it's going to be my last meeting, uh-huh. okay, that like Mike points out, if there were votes that really related to, you know, something that really would make, that would not be appropriate, that the uh-huh. person should recuse, or the chair could, I believe, you know, kind of state that
suggest
they would be recusing that person.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. And, you know, this is, there's nothing written about it, but I do think the board itself should just think ethically about what does make sense.
Exactly.
Daryl's example of if it went into executive session, then I think absolutely. So if a person has applied for a job, whether they have it yet or not, they should not probably be in that executive session.
And
because
it would be
those usually are very confidential personnel issues.
Yeah, and, you know, and rare, but
yeah, right. Well, it is rare. Yeah. You know,
okay.
Still
thank
just
you. That
idea.
Answers is tremendous.
That's what I would think.
All right. Yeah. Perfect.
Okay. Makes sense. Are we
yeah.
all happy well, with
I
that
am.
Sort of
it's
thinking?
It's after my thought, but that's
let's
fine.
Move on.
Okay. If there's no further comments or discussion and nope. we're all kind of happy with that consensus, we'll move on. Okay. The next topic is the suggestion box email. It's supposed to be protocol.
Well, I talked to Word about that.
Protocol. It protocol, yeah, not protocol. Mm-hmm. This summer I was ill, unavailable to really consistently be available to do, you know, daily issues. I mean, I kept up with my commission duties. But if something had come through in that suggestion box and it was very time sensitive, I'm not sure that I would have gotten to it. So, and this is, so the suggestion for the suggestion box is to, instead of have it just go to the chairperson, that anything sent to the suggestion box would go to the board email address so that we would all get it at the same time. That way one of the five of us could act on it. And as in the year that I have been the chairperson, there have been very few suggestions. One, two, not very many. And I always forward those on to everyone, and I honestly can't think of a situation where I wouldn't forward it to everyone. I mean, unless it was obviously like some computer error or spam kind of thing, I would just delete it. But any sort of text, I always forward that on to everyone anyway. So, and kind of along with this, you know, I had asked Jamie earlier to send the NFB Newsline report to the whole board and to Paul and Kathy instead of just to me. And I'm thinking maybe that as a general rule of thumb, unless there's some obvious reason not to send it to everyone, that most of our correspondence probably should be handled in that manner.
See, I always thought, you know, and I'm a little slow on the uptake, but I really thought that, you know, I guess you and Barb and Nancy had always forwarded that. I always thought that stuff was just automatic. You know, I didn't even look that closely. I always thought anything in the suggestion box was just automatically sent to us.
No.
Just to so measure. I see no reason why it couldn't be.
I agree. It's less work for
Kathy.
Kathy
did check, and it's an easy thing to do. They can just change
it. I think we should do it. Let's do it. You know, with the understanding that the chair acts on it, that the chair can't, the vice chair will, but still, it's, you know, why create work for more work for Kathy? If Julie resigns tomorrow, you have to put me in there in the suggestion box, and if I resign the next day, then it's up to Daryl. And that's the update you got to make, Ken. So, I mean, it's a no-brainer. Let's do it. I come up with good ideas once in a while.
And it also helps, I mean, if I had some technical issue and I wasn't able to, sure. you know, right. get to my email for a bit, mm-hmm. it covers that.
Right.
I think it's, I'm all about it, so.
Do we need a motion or no?
I don't think
no.
so.
No, it's just something you're
well, let, yeah. Well, let's do it with the understanding that Julie acts on it, and if she can't, then I will. And
well, it's my understanding that if something was sent to the suggestion box, it would take a quorum to do it anyway.
Right.
I mean, if there was something you needed to act on, all of us needed to be involved or as many as
by
possible.
By acting on it, Jim, don't you mean, I'm sorry, Nancy, don't yeah. you mean just, you know, communicating or...
Right, exactly.
Getting it
to where it needs to go.
To the board or whatever
where it
needs.
Right.
Okay.
That's what I'm
getting.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right,
and that's what I was getting.
And another thing I'd like to comment is that emails go from people in the public, sometimes it's people with questions or with mm-hmm. referral, mm-hmm. they'll click on the board email for information about services.
Right.
And so I would just like to recommend that when you, for any one of you, if you forward it on to me, which is usually what you do,
mm-hmm.
If you'd copy the whole board.
Okay,
so
they
everybody
know it's
knows.
Done.
Okay, Julie sent that to
right.
Pearl.
Otherwise, you're
going to
get five copies of it.
Yeah, because then other people okay. send. And I've tried to get in the habit when I mm-hmm. send it on, if I copy the whole board,
yeah,
thinking
yep.
that you see that
good
I
right.
contacted
exactly.
the person.
Right.
Or sometimes I just, if it's clear, it's somebody that lives in North Platte. I'll just mm-hmm. forward it to North Platte staff or supervisor. You know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, if we could all just do that, I think that would help.
Fine.
Yeah. Right.
Done.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's done.
Ooh, I'm glad that we got that.
Any further questions, comments on that email suggestion box?
And I assume Kathy, you'll let us know when you have the box updated.
I certainly will.
All right.
Next week sometime.
Then I'll try it. I guess I can't try it, but
Kathy can submit a. Suggestion.
Yeah, and typically there'll be in the process. At least last time there was like a couple test ones, and mm-hmm. there's a
actually
it takes a little.
What you could do is when it's set up, go into the suggestion box and say, "Hey, it's set up. It came from the box."
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then see if you all get it.
I come up with good ideas once in a while. It very often, but
okay. We'll move on to our next topic or
public
thing, which is public comment.
Any more public?
Any more comments? This is your last chance.
Speak.
Comments, questions, concerns about anything we've talked about today or anything else related to the commission?
No.
Okay. Any other, anything from any of the commissioners?
Nope.
No.
All right. So we are on to final announcements. Thank you to everyone for coming today.
Yeah, I tell you.
I appreciate not having to talk to myself.
but that way you're guaranteed intelligent conversation, though. So.
Our next meeting is November 6th in Lincoln, and our focus topic is technology. And I don't have...
Can I make a suggestion? On the... And I realize sometimes always can't be done, you know, and Jamie's a good example. To try to get the material to the commissioners, the Friday before the week of the meeting?
We do try.
Yeah, we do.
And
that's fine.
I always tell people to try to have it out before the weekend before. And I'm sorry sometimes that...
Well, no, it's not. Yeah, I mean, all you can do is suggest it, and if they don't, they don't.
Yeah.
Well, and I sent my report out yesterday, so...
Yeah, it's not always possible.
Yeah.
Well, it may not be.
Unforeseen things, too.
We get stuff in a pretty timely manner.
Well, yeah, we do.
But things, I mean, the point, like, with when you get a whole bunch of reports mm-hmm. for the focus mm-hmm. topic.
Yeah.
But then if we're... Now, that I guess that raises a question. In this example, Bob was he generated some of the reports, but then he was gathering some of it from other people. Would you prefer to go ahead and have him send it piecemeal? He waited to have it all.
That's exactly what I was wondering. Because, you know, the report that I generated, you know, I had some of that stuff 3 weeks beforehand, but I sent it out Monday only after I had gotten reports that I still needed from other people.
I really feel that, you know, Bob sending it out when he did was, it was enough time for me. I don't know how the rest of the board felt, but it was enough time for me. Sometimes when we're off in Omaha or further away, I may leave, you know, Friday morning, and whatever was sent on Friday, I wouldn't get to.
Yep.
No, but we're talking about if it were sent. I mean, we'd never try to. We're definitely aware of that. But
yeah,
with where we've got a whole bunch of different reports, and some of it's ready 2-3 weeks ahead.
Right.
We always try to at least be before the previous weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But if that isn't possible, should we go ahead and send part?
What you got?
Send what you got? That's
no,
what
send it out.
I would rather have it in one.
I agree.
Me too. I didn't have a problem with getting it on Monday at all. That didn't bother me.
Well, I got it. I
had a terrible week this week. I hardly had time to read any of it.
I'm the same way.
That's why I was in my room last night reading documents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I worked late and
I read through some the second time last night, late too.
Did you commit it to memory?
But you still have to
no.
Read through it.
I mean, so but I like to refresh my memory as much as possible.
You know, if I got some of them last Friday, then I would have read them last weekend.
Right.
Well, I could possibly, you know, I'm sure I'll be giving folks a copy in the future.
Sure.
If there are stuff that's pending, I could send stuff with a note saying that more will be coming.
I would rather have it, the final version, all at once.
Me too.
Yes.
I really would.
Because for me, I'll set aside time. You know, I know I have Thursday afternoon free, and so I'll just sit down and I will just do board stuff. And at that time, I'm like in that frame of mind, and I'll jot down questions and make notes and all those kinds of things. And if I get it piecemeal, so it ends up, so I'm spending 5 minutes here and a half an hour there, then I don't feel like I'm as mentally dedicated to the material, because it scatters it.
And if you got it at different times, could you put it in a folder?
Well, theoretically I could.
Oh, okay.
And I if you want to send it like that, it breaks it up for me, and it's a little more.
I'm with Julie, send it at once.
Yeah.
I mean, I put it in the folder, but send it at once.
I'm not that organized, I guess, Pearl. It's the moral to the story.
So you said that in public
that is a thought, though, putting it in a folder. that I could see doing.
Yeah.
But being all in one little place, you can just go through all the attachments at once. It's good for me.
Okay.
Jamie?
Yes.
It's Jamie. I just want to make a quick comment about the next meeting. I looked at my calendar. That is the date of Winterfest. So if I'm privileged enough to work as a staff person this fall, I may not be able to do the assignment.
Oh, we better change Winterfest.
Change
the commissioners meeting.
I agree with that. I mean, it's Iowa State football game.
No, and I think if we're given just a heads up, that, like Jamie just said, that we may not have that reported, that, you know, that's fine. We know that. Or even if somebody got behind with a focus topic, if they just say, you know, these three areas we're going to cover, and even if they didn't have material, then we would kind of know what they're going to present on, and just as long as we're apprised somehow. I think just sending things in piecemeal would be kind of...
Where is Winterfest?
Confusing.
Aurora.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It'd be a little tough for a field trip from Lincoln.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't do it anyway. Football game.
I think we had seen November was pretty crowded, so I don't know what else, you know.
No, we don't want to change it, I mean.
No, I was just teasing. I guarantee that I'll be working.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, part of me hopes you're not, but I'd like to see you do what you need to do.
Okay. Do we need to...
Julie's going to say something.
I was going to ask if we needed to set up May and August meetings.
We do that in November.
Do you want to wait till November?
We could get the February one set.
February is Omaha.
Omaha.
Oh, that's always Omaha.
Okay, we're still going to stick with. Okay, good.
Yep.
Okay.
So is November enough notice?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Okay. Then I will.
I'm going to propose we go to Valentine. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Any other final announcements?
I move we adjourn.
I have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Then we're going to adjourn.
Hey.
Call it a day. Thank you.
Hey, now I can take a nap.
Well, pretty good.